All right, in the few minutes that we have tonight, I'd like to draw your attention back to the book of Ruth as we consider how God's providence works. And we're going to back up to chapter 1 tonight when we get there here in just a few moments. But I just wanted to touch on the very word providence. It's a Latin term, pro video or pro video, if you want to say it in more modern English. And it's the idea of being able to see before. And actually, there's a closer English word to this Latin term, pro videro, and that is the word provide or provision. And so the two words are inseparably linked, and you need to think that way whenever you see this. And the Bible first uses the idea of providing in the Bible in Genesis, where the Lord said to Abraham, after he had stopped the knife, he said, "The Lord shall provide you a lamb." And there was a ram caught in the thicket. That's the first time we see that word from the Latin Vulgate, pro video, used. And it was part of the providence of God. How come Abraham didn't see it there in the thicket? Well, perhaps God made it appear at that moment. But it was a provision of God. It was all part of His providence. We see this word used over and over again. It's even used concerning a leader of a home, that the man is to provide for his family, and if he doesn't, he's worse than an infidel, the Bible says. Uses that word provision in the Latin Vulgate. It's that same word, pro video, and it has the idea of seeing before. A father is to see before the needs of his family and do what? Seek to provide for that. So we see this concept that's used both of God more perfectly, but also in the sense of the human being, that it's a dad's responsibility in the home to provide for the needs of the family by seeing ahead what the needs are and then providing for that. So this picture is given to us in the Bible, and the concept basically means, when used of God, God's gracious oversight of His universe. God's gracious oversight of His universe. Every one of these words is important in this definition. God's providence is one aspect of His grace. Grace is so multifaceted. There's so many different aspects to grace. And providence is one of them. Oversight. That comes from that idea of video, the idea where God oversees, He sees and directs the affairs. And then also the universe, it tells us that God not only has a big picture, but He also has a picture of things that are very small, and He takes care of those too. What a beautiful picture. And that brings us to the book of Ruth. And I'm backing up tonight into chapter 1 because I want to show you a few things of God's providence at work in the leaving of the family from Israel, going into Moab. How God worked out details, some of them not very pleasant, but still all in the provision or the providence of God. I want you to see, first of all, that there was a famine in the land, and Elimelech finds out that there's bread in Moab. So he decides to pick up his family, and they move to the country of Moab and continue there. Verse 3, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. That's the next thing that happens when they get there. Now, some people say, oh, that's just bad luck. No. What is that? It's God's providence. Now, do you understand who controls life and death? God does. And we need to understand that. We need to know that. We need to meditate on that. Because sometimes we think that death's all, that's just the devil. The devil's at work in it. But God took his servant Moses on the mount as he overlooked Egypt and buried his body where nobody could find it. God did that. We see many, many pictures throughout the Bible of God saying to Elijah, for instance, you're going to come up to me. Enoch, you're going to come up to me. You're not even going to die. God's in charge of that. Life and what? Death. When we come to the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. So the picture is very clear here. Death is not the absence of God. death is part of the result of the curse. But God still superintends. God still provides for His children in that time of death. So in this passage of Scripture, we see this family. They've got a desperate need. They're hungry. And Elimelech says, I'm going to move the family. We're going to Moab. Now that was a mistake. Because God had told the children of Israel, I will provide for you in your land. But he decided to go. He took his family. And the first thing that happens when they get in the land, Elimelech dies. That leaves Naomi and two boys. Over a period of time, we don't know how it all structures out, but over a 10-year period of time, the two boys marry. And by the providence of God, Mahlon marries Ruth, Chilion marries Orpah. And then what happens? Both the boys die. Now, you begin to think, whoa, what's going on here? You know what's going on? God's providence. Because then God begins to work in the heart of Naomi to bring her back where? To the land of promise. Because we find out in chapter 1 that she gets news that there is bread in the land. Notice verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them what? Bread. Then at the end of the chapter, we find here that in verse 22, and Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem. What does that mean? The house of bread. And they come at what time? The beginning of barley harvest. Is that just happen chance, folks? No, that's the providence of God. That's the grace of God working in these ladies' lives. Now, Orpah chose to stay in her country, and she rides out of Scripture. Whenever I read this story, every time, my heart breaks for Orpah. How about you? Here's this girl that was given the opportunity to go to the land of promise and to know the God of Naomi, and she said, no, I'm staying here. And she rides out of Scripture. No more is said about her. But what individual says, I will not leave thee nor forsake thee? Your God is going to be my God, Ruth. And so this little Moabitess girl who grew up in the land of Moab and had no idea that she was going to marry a boy from Bethlehem by the name of Mahlon, that he was going to die, and God was going to bring her to the land of promise, and she would marry a man by the name of Boaz. Folks, what I'm doing is I'm drawing a very quick sketch of the providence of God. How God works, He sees beforehand, and He brings about. What if Ruth had decided that she wasn't going to go? Maybe Ruth had been the one to stay behind. That wasn't part of God's plan, was it? And so she chose the God of Naomi. And then she became part of the line of descendants that would bring forth the Christ child. This is so beautiful how the Lord does these things. Now I want to just pick up with four thoughts here about the providence of God from chapter 1. The first one. God brings Ruth, a Moabitess, into the realm of Naomi through a marriage to Mahlon. Now think about that for just a moment. How God brought this boy to the land of Moab. She marries him. They're married for a time. He passes away, but now she's connected to another person, Naomi. Now, Naomi is not the most pleasant person. As a matter of fact, she told him, says, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. So she had some work to do spiritually, but she had enough sense to go back home. Praise the Lord. So God brought these two people together in His providence. Do you know that God's working that way in His children all throughout life? God brings people in. God brings people out and brings other people in. It's a constant ebb and flow throughout the Christian's life of being connected with people and places and things and all those wonderful things as God meshes together His plan for you, even when you might step outside, as Elimelech did. He led his family away instead of two. There's a big difference. And he lost his life. The very first thing that happens is that he loses his life, which makes Naomi completely dependent upon whom? God. And hearing the testimony, hey, there's bread back at home. We need to go home. Now, she knew that she had nothing there. All that land was gone. It had passed to the other relatives as far as she was concerned. But she knew she had to go back home to Bethlehem, the place of bread. So that's the first thing. God brings Ruth, a Moabitess, not one of the chosen, and associates her with a lady by the name of Naomi, and she marries one of the boys, Mahlon. Now, when you look up the definition of those two boys' names, they have not appeared, I don't think, in the English registry of any child ever. You know, Chilion means pining, wasting away. That's a great name for your child. Yeah, that's a future sports figure right there, you know, wasting and pining away. The names weren't the greatest, but they got married, and God made an association in a foreign country that was going to have ramifications beyond measure as part of God's plan. Did God do that? Absolutely. Number two, God brings Ruth, Orpah, and Naomi through the door of death into a greater understanding of what they should do. What do you do when you lose your husband? What do you do? She had two boys. The two boys get married. And then the two boys die. Her two children, gone. What do you do? What was God doing that whole time? He was taking away persons, but He was also revealing what she should do. What Naomi should do. How many times can we as Christians witness the fact that God has providentially worked in miraculous ways to bring us to certain understandings and things that we ought to do when we don't know what to do? Isn't it wonderful how God works in His children's lives to bring about certain things? I found recently, I think Roger was going through the print shop and found some old documents related to the restructuring that took place back in the 1970s and early 80s. And I remember as a child those days, and I remember one time we were in church and one of the men was praying and he said, "Lord, we pray that You'll keep us in the red." And I think it was it Mr. O'Pager that spoke up, or oh, Bill. He cried out, "Lord, keep us in the red." And I think Mr. O'Pager shouted, "No, Lord, keep us in the black." And as a child, I was like, "Red, black, what are they talking about?" You know, I had no idea what they were talking about. But what it meant was, we don't want to be in the red. We want to be in the black. All right? And so we went through that time and we found this document. And here we are, almost 40 years later, we're looking at this little slip of paper that said, "You can redeem this." Little piece of paper that went out in the mail, evidently was printed down in the print shop, and "You can redeem this for $25. And all I could say when we were looking at that piece of paper was God took care of it. In a remarkable way, He raised up donors and He raised up people and he had people whose hearts were, "Let's just turn it over to the Lord." And God took care of us during those times. Oh, it was not easy. Was it, Mr. O'Pager? It was not easy. But that little piece of paper, I had another one that showed up from somebody that bought a house here in Milton and was renovating it, and they found that one of those little pieces redeemed for $25. You know, the coupons that were given out. And the guy came up wanting to collect. And I put Mr. O'Pager on it. He said, "Those are no good." It was a guy that had bought the house. He wanted to get $25. And I went up to him, and he's one of my coaches. And I told him, I said, "I'm sorry, Tyler, that's far gone." He said, "Well, it was worth a try." So, but God took care of that. All those years as a kid, not really understanding what went on and what was going on and how dire a situation it was, but God brought us through. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So you see God's providence at work. So God brought Ruth, Orpah, and Naomi through death. They all experienced, all three of those ladies experienced death. Two of them responded by saying, we need to go to the land of promise. And they did. The other rejected and walked out of Scripture. Thirdly, God brings Ruth and Naomi back to the land of promise in spite of their bitter past. And that teaches an important lesson, that you have to let go of the bitterness. You got to let go of all the things you've gone through and move on with God. Because God will provide, provideo. He will take care of it. His providence will sustain you and strengthen you. But you got to let go of the bitterness. That's the struggle of Naomi all through the story of Ruth. She finally comes to the place at the end where she realizes God has dealt well with me. As she's holding this grandchild, that would be the great-grandfather of whom? David. What a glorious thing. She doesn't know that. But she says, God has blessed. She had to leave behind the bitterness. And then fourthly, and we'll close, God brought Ruth and Naomi home during barley harvest. That, whenever you read this story, folks, and when you get to verse 22, you just know something big is about to happen. God brings them to Bethlehem, the house of bread. What do they needed back there? Why did they leave the country? They needed bread. Not only the Bethlehem, but brings them at the beginning of harvest time. Now, you can't eat what's not ready to be harvested. You can't go out to a blueberry bush and eat the green blueberries. You'll be sick as a dog. But when Preston saw the blueberries that were purple, Poppy, they're ready to eat. And that boy went at it. He loved blueberries. And we could pick them. Why? They were ripe. And God brought them at the time. They weren't sitting back in Moab saying, you know, I think we'll wait till barley harvest before we go back. They just go back and God, what happened? God provided. They show up and they said, let's go down and check with the owner of this field and see if he'll let us glean some of the things. And what does the owner do? Have at it. Hey, boys, leave stuff behind for her. All right? Leave stuff behind for this woman. So she'll have plenty to eat. God's providence. Now let me just stop with this right now. Do you believe that God will provide? Oh, there's so much fear today. Everybody's afraid. Everybody's talking about what's going to happen with the financial situation. What's going to happen with this? What's going to happen? What's going to happen with the election this year? We're talking about they're talking about, you know, assassinations? Are you kidding me? Where are we headed? And so people, oh no, what are we going to do? You know what we're going to do? By God's grace, which is what providence is, we're going to trust Him to bring us through. Because what does He promise for the believer? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Would you bow your head, please? Father in heaven, Lord, we thank You for Your hand of providence that was so powerful in the life of Ruth and Naomi and in Boaz. We thank You for how Your hand worked through situations that humans created, and yet You were there the whole time directing and supervising. We thank You for that. Help us, Lord, to learn to trust You in every aspect of life. There are things which seem so complex to us that we have no idea how we're going to navigate our way through those things, but if we turn it over to You, You have a way of making things simple. Because You're able, in all Your power and might, to sort through the complexity of life's curse, life's problems and troubles, and You bring glory unto Yourself. You're able to take the wrath of men and make it praise You. That's just your providence, the exercise of your grace in this universe. We thank you for that, dear Father, tonight. Our hearts are encouraged by that. And I pray that in this study, that together, that we might learn to appreciate and trust you and to depend upon you in such a way where we know that you're going to take care of things. Lord, help us to exercise faith in your wonderful grace, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and good night.